From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, May 22nd. Coming up, we'll learn about how lawns became the default in American communities and the ongoing debate over the traditional turf grass yard in the United States. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Dust storms prompted state police to close some interstate highways in central Illinois yesterday afternoon and evening. The Illinois State Police closed portions of I-55 and I-74 in McLean and DeWitt counties because it was too hard to see in the storm. A portion of I-155 in Tazewell County was also closed for a time. Meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says he was surprised by the severity of the storm because it had not been a particularly dry season.
It's been dry for, 24, 36 hours, very hot and sunny, and that's dried out the top layer of the soil across central Illinois. Meanwhile, the farmers have been doing their spring duties and getting out there and tilling the farm fields, planting the new crops, and so the soil is very loose.
ISP says there were no crashes, injuries, or fatalities reported. 1 year ago, a car pileup killed 8 people during a dust storm on I-55 near Springfield. About 25 people came to Champaign City Council meeting last night to urge city council members to divest from institutions involved in the war in Gaza. A group of Muslim, Palestinian, Jewish, and other area residents urged council members to call a study session on the topic of divestment. The deputy mayor says they need at least 5 city council members to make this happen. No one spoke against the movement to divest. The council did not decide on the issue during the meeting. Deputy Mayor Will Kiles did tell IPM after the meeting that while the city is not yet considering divestment, it is being researched. Those pushing for divestment say they will keep coming to council until they get a study session. The Urbana City Council passed a resolution in March calling for an end to the war in Gaza. Illinois lawmakers have passed some updates to the state's child labor laws. Kids under 16 wouldn't be able to work more than 18 hours a week during the school year or 40 hours a week during breaks. Jobs outside school hours like babysitting, caddying, or selling magazines are exempt. But Republican State Representative Dan Ugosti of Geneva says family businesses like restaurants are not, and he thinks that's a problem.
I don't know why we as a state think we know better than parents as to how to raise their kids or when they should start working or what they should be doing. And with the exception of working around some hazardous equipment or material, I don't think it's a space we belong in.
The measure passed both chambers. Lawmakers now need to send it to the governor for his approval. Illinoisans could soon be allowed to carry an electronic driver's license or state ID in addition to a physical card. The Illinois House passed a measure allowing the Secretary of State's office to put systems in place to allow that. Democratic State Representative Cam Buckner of Chicago, the sponsor, says this would be another option, but it won't completely replace physical IDs.
I think, as Illinois continues to move forward and embrace the technological advances, this is the right step for us.
People will need to keep their physical license in case a police officer wants to see it. Real IDs, which can be used to board domestic flights, will not be available electronically. The measure now moves to the Senate, where sponsors expect to make a couple of changes. Some employees at the Illinois Capitol are turning up the heat as they try to unionize. Alex Degman has more.
The Illinois Legislative Staff Association has been seeking union recognition since 2022. A bill to allow that stalled in the Senate after passing the House last fall, and there's less than a week left before this session is supposed to end. Brady Burden is an analyst in House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch's office and a member of the organizing committee. He says their demands of Speaker Welch, which include better pay and working conditions, haven't changed.
Come to the table, man. That's all we've wanted. Literally for a year and a half, we've been asking for you to sit down and talk to your staff. Come talk to us when it's not a PR opportunity for you, when there aren't cameras.
A spokesperson for Welch says the speaker was proud to stand alongside employees when the legislation passed the House and remains hopeful it'll pass the Senate. I'm Alex Degman.
Still to come, we'll learn about how lawns became the default in American communities and the ongoing debate in the United States over the traditional turf grass yard. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
If you love the city of Chicago, you'll want to tune in for Jeffrey Bear's newest special. It's called Chicago Mysteries. Bear wants to answer weird questions about Chicago's history and culture, like, did a UFO really fly over O'Hare Airport? Why don't Chicagoans put ketchup on their hot dogs? Learn the answers to these and other intriguing questions in this immersive tour of the Windy City. Chicago Mysteries is available to stream now with the free PBS app.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's springtime and most of us have rolled out our lawnmowers. But in the U.S., there is an ongoing debate over the traditional turf grass yard. Harvest Public Media contributor Teresa Holmesy explains how lawns became the default in American communities and today's environmental reckoning.
In the summer, Denise Whitebread Fanning's yard is filled with flowers like zinnias, black-eyed Susans, and milkweed. Her overgrown garden sticks out among the rows of tidy lawns here in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. But she says she's never understood the desire for manicured green grass.
It's so beautiful to come out here and witness this like evolving ecosystem and to see all of the new life that is finding home here that didn't exist on this land 2 years ago.
Fanning is among a growing group that's reimagining lawns. Dozens of municipalities across the Midwest, including Mount Pleasant, are considering loosening restrictions on the height of grass or even what can be grown. There are strong feelings about what lawns should look like.
A lot of people really view their yard as like an extension of themselves.
Michael Barnes is a rare social scientist in the field of horticulture. The University of Minnesota researcher says lawns are sort of synonymous with the American dream and home ownership.
Having a nicely maintained yard is like part of feeling good about not only your contribution to the neighborhood, but also like fitting in with the rest of the community.
He says lawns have been around for centuries. As early as the 1200s, people were already making guidelines on how to cultivate a grassy space. They later became popular with European elites around their intricate gardens. But the modern American lawns we know and love, or hate, cropped up more recently.
It's really that post-war suburbanization that drew lawns into kind of the de facto form of vegetation in urban areas.
Lawns are also now highly industrialized. The landscaping service industry in the U.S. has a market value of around $150 billion.
There's nothing that is natural about a lawn or a landscape that is completely turf grass.
Zach Shum, an entomologist at Iowa State University, is not a fan of turf grass. He says monoculture lawns are essentially ecological dead zones.
Not many insects are utilizing turf grass spaces for food, water, and shelter. A lot of them tend to be pests. All of the pollinators we think of, a lot of the beneficial insects utilize flowering plants, larger trees, shrubs, things like that.
And lawns use a lot of resources. Fuel for mowers, chemical pesticides, fertilizers, and tons of water. According to an EPA estimate, landscape irrigation accounts for nearly a third of all residential water use, about 9 billion gallons a day. Water usage is what caught geographer Christina Malese's attention when she moved to Montana from Italy and noticed how her new neighbors watered their lawns.
At times they would just keep watering, even maybe when a thunderstorm. And so I said, oh, interesting.
This inspired her 2005 study for NASA that calculated how much land lawns take up. Turns out they're estimated to be the largest irrigated crop in the U.S., three times that of corn.
That captures where generally most of us live in cities, and that's where we can maybe have an impact on changing our behaviors.
Today, Malese says she doesn't know whether lawns take up more or less land. Urban sprawl has increased, but turf grass is also becoming impractical in places prone to drought like California, where she currently lives. Turf grass scientists say we do use lawns. They're welcoming spaces, places to gather and play. But lawns could be pared down. In Michigan, Denise Whitebread Fanning's yard has become a pollinator haven. She understands that her busy, colorful lawn is an acquired taste and says not everyone needs to rip up all of their grass.
Even the smallest thing, like planting one beneficial pollinator plant, right, in your yard that wasn't there last year is going to feed more pollinators this year than before. Making a choice to not put pesticides on your lawn anymore, small little things matter.
And Fanning is playing a part in a larger movement to redefine the lawn. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Teresa Holmesy.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be partly cloudy with a high of 78 degrees. That's it for today. 2 in 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by May Antar, Jim Meadows, Alex Degman, and Teresa Holmesy. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. 2 in 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.